Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Time on the Mic. This is the podcast where we look at life and various subjects through the eyes of myself. I'm GT, a 63-year-old baby boomer.
I am Daniel. I'm a 16-year-old Gen Zer.
All right, so we are recording here in the super secret Time on the Mic compound somewhere in the Midwest on Easter Sunday. It's afternoon here. So before we get into too much here, I want to let Daniel know that I checked this morning and we're at 49 downloads. So we're almost at 50.
Growing.
Yeah. So it is. It's growing every week or every day. So that's kind of cool. But if you do listen to the show, we would appreciate just drop us an email or something on social media. Email is time on the mic, Mike spelled M-I-C, at gmail.com. Just let us know what you think. If you got some suggestions on future topics or criticisms or pats on the back, we'll take those too. And Daniel, you want to give them the social media?
Everything is Time on the Mic besides Facebook. Facebook is Time on the Mic space Daniel, and that will be changed in the near future.
Okay.
To Time on the Mic space podcast. So.
And I looked at the Facebook page yesterday, and I'm really hoping what shows up on there nobody's seeing because...
Well, because we don't follow anybody yet or anything.
There are some young ladies there that like to show off their goodies.
And which I think it's AI, but it's all right.
I'm sure it is, but it's kind of creepy. I'm just hoping that nobody's seeing that other than us. So, all right. So we recorded Friday night, Good Friday. We did the Jesus Christ Superstar movie review. So here we are on Easter, and if you will recall on the Friday episode, Daniel was bummed because he wasn't getting any Easter presents this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So Daniel.
Oh, I do?
I am handing him a box that he's going to open.
Okay.
And you have to tell our listeners what's in the box.
What's in the box? I get Reese's mini pieces.
I couldn't find an egg, so you had to settle for that.
Wow. And I got a Marvel, I believe to be a coloring book.
It's an activity book.
Wow. I'll color this and show it on social media. That would be riveting.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
You are welcome. Happy Easter. So you had mentioned before we started recording that you wanted to speak a little bit about Easter. So what do you got?
So growing up, how did you celebrate Easter?
I think I mentioned this before, but we would color eggs. So back then, what you had to do is there was none of the plastic eggs, you know, that you could take apart and put stuff in. They were real eggs.
Yeah.
So we'd boil eggs and you'd buy this dye stuff. I think you put it in vinegar.
Yeah.
And you could take a wax pencil and make designs. You couldn't see you could put them on there, but you really couldn't see it until you dipped them in the dye. Because the dye wouldn't stick to the...
Yeah.
So we would do that, and that was about it. And you'd wake up the next morning, and there'd be a basket there. But the Saturday, the night before Easter, I think I mentioned this, my dad would always say, I'm going to wait up for the Easter bunny, and I'm going to shoot him, and we're going to eat him for Easter dinner. You know, and as a little kid, you're like, what? So, yeah, we probably went to church when I was real little because I was pretty much forced to go to church as a kid.
Yeah.
I kicked and screamed every time, but,
you know, until what age?
Oh, good question. I think my parents got tired of fighting with me at about 11 or 12, maybe. Maybe a little earlier than that, but yeah, it just wasn't my thing because they'd make me go to Sunday school, which was an hour, I believe. And then right after that was church and they would come. And I think that was like an hour and a half. And it's like, yeah, I got stuff to do. There's cartoons to watch.
Yeah.
And, you know, but
priorities, man, priorities.
Yeah. It just wasn't my thing because I would listen to it, but it never made any sense to me. Because
yeah. I mean, you're little.
Well, but the things they would say, even at a young age, I was able to think, well, that doesn't make sense because you just said 5 minutes ago you said one thing and now you're saying the complete opposite. Yeah. So it's like, well, which is it? Well, here's a, so when I was a teenager, I was, so we were, our religion was Lutheran. So the way it worked was you had to go to these classes. They were called catechism. And I'm not really sure, but anyway, you had to take these classes and you had to pass something, some test, I guess, before you were able to take communion. You know what that is. I kind of talked about that on Friday.
I think so.
So communion is, so if you're eligible to take communion, you go up and you kneel in front of the pastor and he would give you a wafer of bread and a little thing of wine.
Okay. Yeah.
And then he, I don't know if he tapped you on the head and said, hey, you know, whatever. But anyway, so I was forced to go to these classes and it was in the afternoon after school. And I was like, and I was a teenager. I was like, this is like the furthest thing I want to be doing right now. And I think they were an hour. But anyway, I don't know how far into this I want to get. But a friend of mine that lived in my neighborhood was going at the same time. And some people I knew from school and this girl that we kind of liked each other was there. So me and the kid, the guy, friend that lived in the neighborhood, we would always kind of be like the class clowns.
Yeah.
And it didn't sit well with the pastor. But anyway, so one day, this girl started passing me notes, and he saw it, and he's like, so you want to read that to the whole class? And, I mean, there was nothing bad in it, just, hey, you know, because I remember when we, you probably had this too, like, somebody would send you a note in school and say, hey, so-and-so likes you. Do you like them? And there'd be a little box.
Yeah.
Yes, no. Indifferent. I don't even remember what the note said, but he said, do you want to read that in front of everybody? And I said, no. And he's like, and he got really upset. And I think, I don't know, I copped an attitude. And I think I said, God damn it or something. And he lost it.
Yeah.
He kicked me out.
Really?
Yeah. He kicked me out and said, don't ever come back.
Wow.
And I was like, that's all I had to do? I would have done that on day one. So anyway, my mom wasn't happy. So then I got a notice in the mail one day that says, you have a registered letter at the post office. And it's like, why would somebody be sending me? I mean, I'm like 13, 14. Why would somebody be sending me a registered letter? So anyway, went down to the post office, picked it up, brought it home, because you have to sign for it. And it was a letter from the church, from him, saying that since I got kicked out and couldn't take communion, that I was not entitled to a Christian burial. And my mom was pissed, man. Oh, God. And I'm like, because I'm reading this, and I'm like, so this dude's holding my soul hostage? Who the hell does he think he is? So
that's
crazy. It was. And I wish I would have kept that letter. I don't know what I did with it. I wish I had that. I'm pretty sure I don't. But yeah, my mom. Because my mom was pretty religious for most of my life. But yeah, she was furious. But anyway. So how about you? Can you top that?
Well, you never had... When was Easter egg hunts a thing? Did you never go?
Oh, we never
or
had,
was it just never a thing?
Nope. Never had. I don't know that it wasn't a thing, but we never participated.
So
when my two sisters had kids when they were young, they would do it, and I'd go over there and hang out, and you know. But as a kid, no.
So I would do the same thing. We would paint eggs and all that, and put it in the baking soda or whatever, and dye it different colors and all that. We did growing up.
Did you ever eat them?
No.
No?
No. You ate them?
Yeah, sometimes.
We wouldn't.
It's just a boiled egg.
But we would make, growing up, when I was real little, we would make like Easter, it was kind of like a arts and crafts thing where we would make Easter hats and Easter shirts.
At home, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we would just.
Easter hats?
Yeah, we would just, on Easter, we would create like our own clothing. Like.
Your own clothing?
So like I have Hot Wheels hot glued onto a hat and stuff like that.
Like the cars?
Yeah, like in Easter hay and, yeah.
Easter hay? What's that?
You know the little thing, the hay that you put in an Easter basket?
Oh, the fake grass? Yeah, okay.
But we do that. Obviously, the Easter hunts is a big thing. But the golden egg.
The golden egg?
You know about this?
No.
The egg with all the money.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, so it was the biggest prize.
So you guys, how many participated in this?
Well, it...
Was this, your family put this on or you went to an event?
Went to it, blah, 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 other places.
Oh, okay. So,
but,
so whoever was putting it on had the golden egg. So,
yeah. Okay. Like, so there's videos coming out on social media today because it's Easter, obviously. And it's videos of saying that I'm hunting for the golden egg and I'm about to tackle this child. And then
you mean
a
grown adult?
And then in subtitles, it's, by the way, I'm a grown adult.
Oh my God.
So
how much money are we talking?
$20.
Oh my God.
It used to, but sometimes it was 50. Sometimes it was 100.
You're
going to
tackle a little kid as a grown adult for $20.
So it was, it's me searching for the golden egg. And it's a picture of a guy flying in, like a football player flying in. And then it's a little kid in front of them, like photoshopped in,
mm-hmm.
and it on the bottom text it says, "By the way, I'm a grown adult." So
when I was in my professional life, I worked in, I ran the audiovisual department for the Army here locally. I was a contractor; I wasn't a government employee, but they had a department called MWR, which was basically for military families and sometimes the public. They would do events, and they used to annually do an Easter egg hunt. And I had to work it because they wanted it videotaped and for what reason?
Shown to the media?
I don't know. Half the stuff I did, nobody ever watched. but anyway, the way they would do it was they'd do it in age groups. Like,
yeah.
You know, if you're...
That used to not be a thing, though.
But there was a lot of, I mean, yeah, those kids would go crazy, yep. Man. It's like the analogy I would pick would be like a horse race when they drop the gate and the horses are, it's like, go, and they're like, wah!
So the golden eggs at like big events, like at Walmart.
Did you ever find one?
Like what, a golden egg? Yeah.
Yeah?
All the time. But you know, like the big events around here or like Walmart or anything where it's a big open field.
Walmart has an Easter egg hunt?
Well, Hy-Vee used to have Easter
Hy-Vee,
egg hunts.
Yeah.
But
Hy-Vee is a local grocery store.
They had Easter egg hunts,
mm-hmm.
and they would have golden eggs. I don't know if they still do, but it used to be bigger as well. I saw it recently. It's literally a little small area.
I don't think they do it anymore.
I don't know if they would, yeah. But
so how much money was in it?
It wasn't money. It was prizes. They would. It was like raffle, like little pieces of paper that would tell you what your prize it is, and it was like big old baskets. You know the big ones that
right.
used to get sold.
Oh, okay.
And with like random things, like random toys.
Because they probably didn't. They probably had that stuff donated.
Yeah.
They didn't pay for it.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easter was not
that big of an event.
Not for us as kids. No, I mean it. It was a day to get gifts, you know, and candy. That was
yeah.
it. I mean, it wasn't on the level of like Christmas or birthday or anything like that. But yeah, it was. Because I guess for me, it wasn't a big thing because I was, oh shit, at some point we're going to have to go to church. So anyway, that leads me to a question I have, and you may not want to talk about this,
okay.
and that's fine. But when we did Friday night's recording and we were talking about Jesus Christ Superstar, you met, because I listened to it last night after I uploaded it. You had mentioned that you don't know a lot about the story of Jesus.
Yeah.
Correct?
Correct.
And you said, I heard you say, I didn't catch it at the time, but you said, I believe what I believe.
Yeah.
So what is that? What do you believe? Or don't you want to talk about it? If you don't want to, that's fine.
I put it in simpler terms. I just believe in a higher power.
Okay.
Something in general being a higher power.
So you think there's a higher power that's controlling us like puppets
on
a string?
It could be something on Earth. It could be something else. So
okay.
Just to put it in simpler terms.
And how did you reach that conclusion? Just out of curiosity.
Just listening and doing my own thing, researching. Just
I have a book.
Gaining knowledge.
I have a book you should read, but we can save that for another show. But it's kind of on those same lines. Yeah.
Just overall gaining knowledge from things. It's an eye opener. So
yeah. Well, it's one of those things. Nobody really.
Yeah.
I mean, I've read the Bible actually twice, and it's a very confusing, contradictory book. For instance, in the book of Genesis, they talk about these giants that used to roam the earth.
Yeah.
They were called Nephilim, I think is what they called them. And I will save that for another time. I'll get too deep.
We'll get into your theory.
It'll take the whole show.
We'll get into your theory one time.
Yes, and then the guys in the little white coats will come and take me away. All right, so in this episode, if you listen to the one before Friday, we gave each other a movie to watch. I gave Daniel Escape from the Planet of the Apes, which was the third in the original series. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so.
He gave me his childhood favorite film. Was that a fair statement?
Yeah.
Open Season.
At least a fair statement to my mom.
Oh, okay.
So
I'm going to have you go first because I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah?
Yeah. This.
I think you're going to be underwhelmed.
Well, let's find out.
All right. So how do you want me to format this? I wrote down...
You do you.
So,
which I hate that thing. I hate that.
I wrote down what throughout the movie what I think was important.
Okay.
So it starts off with just in a helicopter, and I guess it's the Army for some reason. The Army finding a spacecraft in the open waters. I think it was Pacific Ocean or something. Atlantic, whatever. It doesn't really matter. Spacecraft in, they open it. They drag it out of the water. And I guess it's a U.S. It's always on, in movies, it's always the U.S. For some reason, it's never anywhere else in the world.
Of course. Yeah. USA.
And the random astronauts in this spacecraft is just monkeys. It's monkeys, and they're all like, "What?
Careful
about what?"
I'm just kidding.
But I mean, the apes don't like them calling monkeys. But I learned that throughout the film. So I first wrote monkeys, and then I changed it.
I'm trying to remember. I watched this. I got about halfway through it, and I couldn't watch it anymore. So there were monkeys in there, or apes in there?
Yeah. The
I don't remember that. Okay.
Okay. Anyway,
sorry.
So goes throughout the film. You find out that they talk when the doctors come in because they go to a zoo and get studied, basically. And the apes are accidentally time travelers.
That's what I want to be when I grow up.
Accidental time traveler?
I'd love to be able to travel in time. Would you go forward or back?
Back.
Would you?
Yeah.
How far?
I don't know. I really... Put in perspective, I'd say dark ages.
Ooh.
Medieval.
Really?
Yeah.
There was a lot of disease and shit then.
Yeah, but I'm fine.
I've had my shots.
I'm all good. But
I'd go back. I'd want to go back to see it.
I would like the Renaissance. The Renaissance would be cool.
Yeah, I'd want to go back to dinosaur times just to see it.
Yeah.
And then I'd want to go back.
I think that'd scare me.
Well, yeah. I mean, you'd want to watch your 6 and 12.
You would want to be in a bubble. But.
And I'd want to go to the time when Jesus was alive to see if all that stuff.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
If it really happened.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting points in time that, like, obviously points in time where, like, unsolved cases to see what actually happened and all that. But, yeah.
Oh, we should do we should do a whole episode on time travel.
Yeah.
I could talk for hours about that.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite subjects.
All right. Well.
Sorry. We're getting off on tangents here.
The one of the apes is a doctor.
Dr. Zaius?
Zaius? I don't know.
It wasn't Dr. Zaius.
But
he was a character in Planet of the Apes.
Oh. But we find out that. And also there's the doctors that are doing the tests on them. Are doing smartness tests, and I thought the original name of this ape was Sarah, but and then they start pronouncing her name more, and it's Zira.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But she accidentally talks. This was a big thing between them not to talk.
Did she say, "What's up, man"?
No, she was like, "I dislike bananas." That's a
wow. Of all the first things you could say,
she was like, bananas are like bad. Like, I don't know how to, what's that word that I'm missing? Hatred towards me or whatever. I don't know how to.
Well, she thinks it's like a stereotype because she's
yeah,
a ape.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, don't throw bananas at me, asshole. I don't like bananas. Yeah. You got a steak? Throw a steak at me.
But the doctor monkey dies from being strangled by an ape, like a bigger gorilla.
Yeah. If I remember right, in the original series of Planet of the Apes, the gorillas were the, like, the soldiers.
Yeah.
The bad, I don't know about bad guys, but they were like the military. Militant yeah. people.
And then we find out that Zira is a psychiatrist, like the other doctor in the room, that is studying them, doing the tests on them. And randomly it cuts to the government again, talking about how the spacecraft is a two-year-old American lost spacecraft,
mm-hmm.
lost in space. And that they come from humans, where humans are dumb. On right. their planet.
Right.
And they left because of war.
Yeah,
because
in the original Planet of the Apes movies, the roles were reversed. The apes were in charge and the humans were like the dumb animals.
Yeah. And humans are hunted like animals. They get a hotel randomly, by the way. So this is the parts that I was talking
about.
Wait,
what?
So the parts where I talk about...
They get a hotel.
So, yeah. So after...
They get a fruit basket?
So
here's some bananas.
These three things that I was talking about, the left for war and hunting like animals, they were all in a press conference with the government or the presidential thing, they kept on saying. But because of that, they come to the conclusion that they deserve a hotel.
Johnny, tell them what they won.
But they get a hotel. I don't know how they got to this conclusion, but they found out that Zira is pregnant.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
And then...
Human or ape?
Ape. And that they keep drugging her to get info out of her, like more info about the...
Why don't you like bananas?
Well, there was an astronaut, obviously, on that spacecraft beforehand. And she wasn't going to tell them.
Taylor?
Yeah, Taylor, that more.
So info. Taylor was in the
her
first
secret lover.
No.
Well, what I gathered from this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn, maybe I should watch this again. But Taylor was played by Charlton Heston in the first movie. He was the astronaut that somehow got.
On a different timeline? Well, not timeline, but...
They took off from Earth, modern-day Earth, and something happened. I don't remember. Went through some time warp or some shit like that.
Like they did.
Yeah.
Like the apes did.
And he ended up on Earth, but...
At a different time.
Earth was monkeys in charge, humans... Yeah. Monkeys good, apes... Or monkeys good, humans bad.
Yeah. My info jumps to... They accidentally kill the waiter that's giving them, like, drugging food to kill the baby because they wanted to kill the baby.
How'd they accidentally kill him?
I don't think I wrote down his name, but the husband of Zira throws the, so they give the food or whatever.
So they know they're being drugged?
No, they don't, but... The waiter makes a mistake of calling her a monkey, I believe.
Oh.
And he just flips out, "We're not monkeys. We're apes." And he stands up and pushes the tray with all the glass and everything and flips it, and he falls backwards and hit his head, and the glass is obviously conveniently sharp and placed up.
Of course.
And he dies from it.
Oh, man.
And they escape.
So they're on the run?
Yeah, they're on the run. And it jumps again on my notes and says they have a kid in the circus because that's where they went to be safe. There's this guy.
Wait, who has a kid in the circus?
The apes.
So she gave birth?
Yeah.
And her kid's in the circus?
Okay, so she gave birth. So wow. Because they're on the run.
I should have finished this movie. So
because they're on the run, okay?
I know.
The doc.
Nobody will expect to see us at the circus.
The original doctors help the apes, and they get a place at a circus that they are good friends with, the head guy at the circus, and he loves animals, obviously. He already has apes, and he...
We don't need any more apes.
And he births the child of the apes, and... They call their kid Milo, which is the dead doctor name.
No, isn't
of the,
that,
so
isn't that nice?
It is real nice. And then I got to flip the page here, but oh, I really jump into here.
That's okay.
But they...
So they're hiding out at the circus.
Yeah, until they get word that the government or whatever... So since the guy is a doctor, he has permission to go with the government and like know their plan. So he's basically a double agent.
Okay, back up. Who's he?
The doctor. The human physician.
Okay.
So he has clearance for government meetings.
Right.
And since he was a part of it, he was the original physician.
Mm-hmm.
So he has clearance for that, and he hears that, well, where would they go on the run? And one of them, the guys go,
I know.
Where do the other apes go? The circus. So they go on the run. And they basically have a good goodbye. They kiss each other. That was weird to me.
Who kissed each other?
The apes. Like, so the female one loves to kiss humans for some reason.
Mm.
Like, Taylor was the first. The other doctor.
Jungle love?
I guess. The other doctor was the second. They make this very clear. And the husband kisses the female doctor.
Whoa, this is getting weird.
Yeah. But they on the run... I'm going to jump real quick here on the notes because this is, for some reason, the only thing that I wrote here. But
you fell asleep, didn't you?
No. The main... So there's one really bad guy in this, and he just wants the apes dead in general.
Human?
Yeah. Okay. He just wants the apes dead in general because he wants the human population to be good or whatever. But...
We don't like your kind around here.
Yeah, basically. But Zero gets shot by him.
Oh.
And it's a big, it's on a boat, like a huge boat, like a barge.
Okay.
And that's where they're stationed at. And they're just going through the tunnels and everything. And she gets shot in the open. Then Cornelius, the husband, shoots the bad guy because the doctor.
Where'd he get a gun?
So the doctor gave him a gun because he asked to, if he was going to get shot, that he wanted to kill them himself. Instead of getting shot.
Basically. He wanted to commit suicide?
Yeah.
Oh.
So that was a big thing as well at that little kiss fest. And so he gives him a gun and he shoots the bad guy. He dies as well. And the police shoot Cornelius.
So did she die?
Hold on. Oh. The police shoot Cornelius. And then Zira throws what we think is her baby overboard because she has her baby with her.
What? Okay. I got to watch this movie.
Yeah.
To the end. This is wow.
It is really wild. And then Zira crawls over her dead husband. And then it, guess what? This is the best part. This is the whole big thing. Then it cuts to the circus moving because they were going to Florida and they were planning to move the apes to Florida and just leave them out in the jungle. I guess according to this movie, there's jungles in Florida.
There's a jungle in Florida?
Yeah. I guess they're going to go move to Florida and be free. But the circus manager, he gives the baby ape in general, like the baby ape before this all happens, a necklace, okay? A necklace about survival, like a god for healing animals. He gives that to...
A god?
Whatever. It's like a healing thing for animals. I don't remember exactly, okay. But it's supposed to help animals. And the scene cuts to, after she dies, they both die, all of them.
It's monkey genocide?
Yeah, basically. The camera cuts to the circus moving, and the baby chimp is Zira's chimp, instead of like the other... female's chimp, the other mother's chimp in the circus.
Oh, okay.
So they traded chimps, I guess. So they traded chimps. It was kind of confusing, but and then the whole thing is
they traded chimps. Yeah,
and the whole thing is Zira was talking to the chimp, saying, like, basically trying to get the
she actually threw this other woman's kid overboard.
Yeah,
it was alive.
Yeah. Holy well, because shit. Otherwise the government would have killed that anyways, or just studied it to realize that it's actually just a normal chimp. So that's the thought process there. She would say mama a lot. She would say mama to the other ape. So while she was in there, so after the cut, it's Zero's chimp, and the chimp just completely repeats mama the whole time, and then it cuts to black.
That's the end?
Yep.
Wow, that sounds like
it's in the inspirational movie.
Did it make you cry?
No.
You ever cried in a movie?
I don't know. Probably I did. I probably did.
Yeah, I cry in movies.
Dog movies really get me.
Dog movies?
Yeah, like heartfelt dog movies.
Like what?
I don't know. I can't think of the one off my head, but there's a dog movie where the...
Like The Secret Life of Pets?
No. Where the dog, like... goes through death, it dies, and it gets reincarnated as another dog and runs to the old family.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So when I watched this movie, so the apes started to become, like, famous.
Yeah.
And
they were international news.
Yeah, and they were basically treated like celebrities.
Yeah.
They were invited to all these big events, celebrities would invite them to their dinner party so they could say, oh, look, the apes are at my house, at my party.
Yeah.
And so they started, like, making designer outfits for them and shit, if I remember right. And I'm just like...
Yeah, they went to a shopping spree.
That's when I just went, I cannot watch this anymore. This is the... I could feel myself getting dumber by the minute watching this.
Yeah, Zira loves alcohol while she's pregnant.
Really?
Yeah. They promote that, wow. I guess. But overall, I give this movie an 8 out of 10.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
I'm not.
I got to watch this again. 8 out of 10? Why?
It's really good. I said it has some...
You didn't think it was
the reason that it gets dock points is because it has some corny flaws in it. Otherwise, it has a good storyline. I like movies for the storyline, I guess you could say.
So you didn't think it was, like, just too far out there?
No. Well, if you think about all the Planet of the Apes movies, I don't think this one's too far out there.
Really?
The newest one, I'd say it's pretty far out there.
I don't think I've seen any of the new ones. Have you seen the original one?
No. Mm. I think I've only seen two, and this is the second one I've seen. But I also I wouldn't watch it again. Well, because I know the story. But I wouldn't watch it again, but I would recommend it.
Really?
Yeah. It's a sad heart warmer.
I guess I know what I'm doing tonight.
It's a sad heart warmer.
A sad heart warmer.
Yeah.
That seems like an oxymoron. Do you know what that is?
Yeah. Like a person who says something and also retracts about it.
Like it's when you say two words that are...
contradict each other.
Yeah. Like military intelligence.
Yeah. But yeah, you also get... So what... What did you rate this movie before hearing all what I said?
What's the scale?
I put it on a 10 scale.
I would have given it a 3.
Yeah, probably. I'd definitely say you should watch it all.
But it was just... Because when I gave you this, I told you I'm giving this to you because it's a really bad movie. And
it really wasn't.
And to watch it for the comedic value. Because to me, it was just like, this is just so out there. It's like apes at dinner parties and wearing designer clothes.
It is out there, but I mean, it's a good storyline if you
get past the ape part. Yeah. Pay no attention to those talking apes.
But I also gave you a movie.
You did?
Yeah.
You gave me Open Season, which was from 2006, and this is an animated film that you said you watched every night before you went to bed.
Yep.
For how long?
Oh, a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
So
this in Cars.
So did you, like, fall asleep at the same point every time?
Pretty much? No.
No?
No.
Did you?
I'll just watch it until I fall asleep.
So you watch it all the way through and then go to bed?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. So once again, the Open Season was the time, and there's like three or four of these movies.
Yeah.
It's like, holy.
It's like, a good, it's, it got enough money, so.
Yeah. All right, so it's an animated film. Some pretty well-known people provided voices. There are pretty much, I guess, two main characters and two sort of main characters. The main character is the bear called Boog, right?
Yeah.
Voiced by Martin Lawrence. And I have to tell you that as soon as he started, I'm not a big Martin Lawrence fan.
I don't know who these people are.
He's a black stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
He had a show for a while called Martin.
Martin?
Yeah.
I think I know that. Oh, wait. Is he the person who does the Sex Tops Lips movie and also...
He does what?
Does he have a TV series?
Now?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
But I think I know him. Meet the Martins or something. Is he like skinny?
I don't know. I haven't.
I don't know, but I think I like him, but continue.
Okay. So anyway, I thought they could have picked a better person for that voice, but, you know, whatever.
It is a bear after all.
So Boog the Bear, who basically works for the National Park Service as a show animal. They do shows at the park. His handler is Beth. I didn't put down who did. I think it was Deborah Messing did her voice. But I found her character just, I don't know. It wasn't the character. It was the way they drew her.
Yeah.
She had a really weird body.
Yeah.
Anyway, Shaw is the crazy redneck hunter who wants to kill every animal on the surface of the earth.
Yep.
Gary Sinise, I believe, provided his voice. And then there's Elliot the Deer, who was voiced by Ashton Kutcher. So the movie takes place in a town called Timberline, and in the beginning, we see Beth and Boog leave their house and go to, is it like the park rangers?
I haven't seen this in a while.
Okay.
But are you meaning, does it go to the stage? Is that what you're meaning?
No, they drive up to, I believe it's the park ranger station or the wildlife cops.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, their little, like, outpost?
Yeah, and they're putting up a sign, open season, hunting season starts in 3 days.
Yeah.
And so Boog is sitting in the Jeep, and Beth goes inside to talk to the cop guy. Anyway, so as Boog is chilling out in the back of the Jeep, the Shaw guy pulls up in a truck, and he's got a deer tied to the front of his car. And the deer is alive, and he's missing one antler. I believe so. Boog takes a stick and starts poking him to see if he's still, and he wakes up and he's like, "Whoa, what the hell?" And so he's begging with Boog to cut his rope so he can escape. And Shaw, the hunter, is inside having an argument with Beth about, you know, "I'm going to kill your bear" or some shit like that.
Yeah, because hunting season.
Yeah,
I guess that's the main conflict.
Oh, I know what it was. The cop's giving him shit because he's got a deer and hunting season hasn't opened yet. That's what it was, yeah. So anyway, Boog decides to cut the rope. He cuts one rope, and all of a sudden, Elliot, the deer, starts to untie himself, and then Shaw comes out, and he's like, "Hey!" And so Elliot runs away. And then I believe the next scene is Boog is getting ready for bed. He lives in the garage.
Yeah.
And he's
the cutest little guy.
And he's got a teddy bear of all things.
He's the cutest little guy.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's his prized possession.
Oh, the teddy bear?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was his name? Mr. something.
I don't know. I haven't seen it in a long time.
So anyway, this part, and I hope you can... Okay. So he starts hearing this noise. All the lights are on. Bam, bam. And he looks up, and in the window, you see these figures. They're being like somebody. I thought at first it was the deer who was like throwing himself against the window. But they show outside, and Elliot the deer is picking up these bunny rabbits.
Yeah.
And he's throwing them against the window. And I'm like, and throughout the movie, they treat these rabbits like shit. Yeah. What the hell's the deal with that?
I don't know. They're like little stepping stones.
I mean, throughout the whole movie, even the animals, the other animals are like, "Hey, it's just a rabbit." And they're like throwing them around and shit. And it's like, holy God, man. So anyway, Boog's like, "What's going on?" I don't know what he thinks is going on, but so Elliot,
"I'm gonna stay at your place."
Yeah. So Elliot comes through the window and declares, "Hey, man, we're best friends now." And he's like, "What? Who are you?" And so then Elliot gives Boog a candy bar.
Yeah.
And he's never had a candy bar before. And he's like, "Oh, man, what is this?" It's like crack, you know, bear crack. And so Elliot says, "Well, I know where we can get more." And he's like, "We got to go, but we got to go outside." And he's like, "Nope, nope, I'm not going outside." And he's like, "Come on, come on, come on, bear crack." So anyway, he convinces Boog to basically sneak out of the garage, and they go to a convenience store.
Yeah.
And it's locked. And so Boog says, "Well, we're going to have to come back tomorrow." So Elliot proceeds to take a shopping cart and bust through the front door.
Yep.
And they proceed to just totally annihilate this place. They're eating every candy bar, every drink. I mean, they're basically, like you said before, they're high on sugar. I mean, they're doing some crazy shit. So anyway, obviously the alarms went off, the cops come, and they take Boog back to Beth. And
this is sad Boog at this point. He's real sad.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's like real sad that he did that.
I thought he was still high on bear crack, but anyway. So takes him back. She's disappointed. And the cop tells her, he says, "You better, you know, he's getting to the point where his instincts as an animal are going to kick in. You're going to have to let him go out into the wild." And she's like, "Nah, I don't think so." So then they're getting ready to, the next day, they're getting ready to do the show again. And in the show, the way it starts out, Beth comes up, there's a curtain behind her, and they portray Boog as this big, badass grizzly bear because they put lights behind him, and all you can see is a silhouette against the curtain. And he's like, you know, rawr, rawr, where he's basically just a little teddy bear. And so anyway, Beth is out there doing her thing, and Elliot the deer is backstage with Boog. And it looks like, from the audience's point of view, that Boog is just tearing this guy apart, and he's killing him, and they're like, "What the hell?" And Beth's like, "What, what?" And she turns around, and she's like, and so anyway, the crowd freaks out, and they think Boog has gone crazy and is going to kill them all, so they start running out, and I believe this is a part where she has to shoot him with a tranquilizer.
Yeah.
And so, this made no sense to me. It's a kid's movie, I get it, but she shot the bear once, and she shot the deer four times in the ass with, I mean, you know, the bear's like six times bigger. You would have thought it would have killed that deer. But anyway, so while the deer and the bear are zonked, and this is the other thing, she's got access to a lot of cool toys.
Yeah. I mean,
she wraps them up in this big net and gets in her helicopter.
Oh, yeah.
And flies them
to an unknown location.
Well, the forest cop tells them, you know, it's going to be open season in a couple days or a day or whatever. You don't want him, because he's never lived in the wilderness.
Yeah.
So she takes him to the northernmost part of the park, I believe she said, where there weren't any hunters.
Yeah.
So she drops him off. You know, you have that tearful, although the bear and the deer are still zonked, but she's like, "Woo," you know. Flies off in her helicopter, like we'll do. So, you know, eventually they wake up, and Boog the bear is freaking out, like, "Where am I at? You know, I don't know how to survive." And so they kind of form a friendship, meet some animals along the way, which this was my favorite character, McSquizzy, the squirrel.
Oh.
He talks in a Scottish accent.
Yeah.
He's voiced by English comedian Billy Connolly, and I have no idea who that is, but the guy's pretty funny. I think he's dead now though, but he had some good parts in this movie. I like that. So basically what they decide to do is Boog wants to find his way back to Beth, back to town. And so then we find out that we run into the deer herd that Elliot belongs to, and he's basically the outcast of the herd.
Yeah.
And you got the leader of the herd who thinks he's a real badass. But anyway, there's a female deer called Giselle who Elliot has a crush on. But, you know, the leader has his eyes on her too. So he's like, yeah, she's mine. And
yeah, and he has two antlers.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, Giselle's like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just a mild little female deer. So anyway, long story short, they mistreat the rabbits again for a while. I don't know why, but the rabbits just seem to
Aren't the rabbits also used as like ammo?
I think so, yeah. Oh, the squirrels, though, when they first encounter McSqueezy, and he's got like, it's just him. And of course, Boog says something like, you know, you don't intimidate me. And all the stuff, and the McSqueezy squirrel says, oh, yeah, watch this. And he does something. And all of a sudden, you see all these squirrels come out. And I mean, they're like, there's like a million of them. And he's like, who? And they start throwing nuts at him.
I think he's portrayed as a general.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but there's some one-liners in here that are really adult humor, which. Because I know, well, I'll get to this point in a minute. But anyway, so long story short, I don't remember how this all came about, but, oh, I remember. So Shaw the Hunter is trying to track him. And you see these beavers are building this dam.
Oh, the beavers are great.
Yeah. So I can't remember if they're running away from Shaw the Hunter or what. But anyway, somehow Boog ends up accidentally destroying the dam.
Yeah.
And then it's like flash flood. There's water going everywhere. And it basically, all the animals are misplaced or displaced, I guess is a better term. They're caught up in the flood, and they end up where the hunters are, because now it's open season.
Yeah.
So, but this one, I remember this line. This was one of the lines. So they decide, we're not going to just run and hide. We're going to fight the hunters. We're going to drive them out. And this was one of the lines that I thought was funny, because they told McSqueezy the squirrel, we need you and your nuts and your acorns too. I'm like, what? Okay. So anyway, I guess after the flash flood, so Boog and Elliot have a falling out, because Boog thinks that Elliot knows how to get home, but he won't tell him or something like that. So, and then all the animals turn on Elliot as well. So Elliot's ostracized once again, and he's, you know, walking around with one antler, just, you know, miserable. And then Boog finds Shaw's cabin, and I thought this was so bizarre. The first thing he sees is a toilet, and he's like, yes! And he goes in there and shuts the door, and I'm like, what? So anyway...
Yeah.
You know, he sits in his chair, he opens his refrigerator and eats his candy bar and something else. I don't remember. I don't know if he laid in his, did he lay in his bed?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So anyway, so then Shaw comes home, and Boog's like, oh shit. And he's trying to hide, and Shaw figures out there's somebody, you know, it's just like Goldilocks and Three Bears. Somebody, and he goes to the bathroom, somebody didn't flush. And I'm like, oh my God. And he discovers his candy bar is gone. His bed's messed up. And he sees the bear. And, of course, his first instinct is to try to shoot him. But somehow, Boog escapes. So him and Elliot reconcile. Everything's good. They decide to fight the hunters, drive them out. So, yeah, all the animals, they, like you said, they... Oh, they there's these two campers.
Yeah.
And they have a dog, oh, a dachshund dog they call Mr. Weenie.
Oh yeah, Mr. Weenie.
So anyway, these campers, they're getting ready to figure out their strategy on how they're going to fight the hunters. So did they scare the hunters or the campers away?
I don't know, but Mr. Weenie has a second life.
Yeah. Yes, he does. But anyway, so they steal this lady's, she's got like four bras hanging up on the clothesline drying. So they steal the bras, and I'm like, where's this going? So anyway, they're using the bras as slingshots.
Yeah.
That's where they start shooting the rabbits, right? Yeah. They use them as like ammo.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, these poor rabbits, man. So anyway, Long story short, they drive all the hunters out. And then the only one left, of course, is Shaw. And he gets a clean shot at Boog. So he's getting ready to shoot. He's got him all lined up. And then Elliot jumps in front of the gun or knocks the gun away. Anyway, did he get shot or just... I don't think he got shot, but he got knocked out. And Boog thinks he's dead.
Yeah.
Because he's out cold. So he attacks Shaw and takes his gun and basically uses it as a rope. He wraps it around Shaw and ties him up in his gun. He bends it all around him and stuff. So, and then Elliot wakes up and he lost his other antler. So now he has no antlers.
Yeah.
So they're all like high-fiving each other going, hey, we did it, you know. And so here comes that Giselle, that female deer. And this part was my favorite part. So Elliot or Boog says to Elliot, hey, man, don't get something. I'm paraphrasing here, but he says something like, hey, man, don't get distracted by the woman. And he goes, yeah, it's bros before does. I'm like, oh, I was like, that is great. So then she walks by and she goes, hi, Elliot, or something like that. And he goes, hey, I'll see you, Boog. So then you mentioned the dog, the Mr. Weenie.
Yeah.
And maybe you can shed some light on this, but he's wearing, throughout the whole thing, he's wearing like this one of those dog vest things.
Yeah.
And he goes, I've been living a lie. What was that?
I don't remember.
And he rips off his vest.
Yeah. It's like, I think it's like the, he is a pet instead of a wild animal, that type of thing.
But he was a pet, though.
Yeah, but initially he's supposed to be a wild animal, quote unquote, like the others.
Oh, okay. So, I don't know.
But yeah, he really comes into a different.
I thought maybe he was like coming out of the closet.
Like, no.
I'm gay. I'm a gay wiener dog.
Yeah, no.
So anyway, so Beth decides she wants Boog back. So she goes, gets in her helicopter. She's got a sweet Jeep and a helicopter. I don't know how much she gets paid, but anyway, she lands and they see each other. Of course, it's a magic reunion. The music's like, and so she says, I've come to take you home. And he's like, all right, cool. But then he's like, he looks back at all the animals that are, you know, basically think, oh, he's going to leave. Well, he decides to stay because I think he just decided, well, this is my home. I'm a wild animal. I belong here or whatever. So that was pretty much the end, if I remember. Right?
Yeah.
Is that how it ends?
Basically a getting together and realizing that Boog is now a like grown up in himself. He's right. Not with a teddy bear no more.
Now, did you watch any of the sequels?
Yeah, or? The second one, Boog and Elliot are the main characters, but there's an addition.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Weenie.
I was going to say.
Mr. Weenie.
Yeah. I'm not sure I want to know about Mr. Weenie. So anyway, before I give my closing comments and my rating, tell me how you discovered this movie and what it meant to you as a child.
I really don't know how I discovered it, but I know that I would watch it every night, and I got my nickname. Part of my nickname is from this show, Boog.
Yeah.
And because that was my favorite character, and he always had that little teddy bear. He was the cutest little thing. He was a big guy, but he was small at heart. So, a vulnerable, big little bear. But yeah, I mean, I would watch it every night. It was a show that would compete with Cars.
Yeah, I know you watched that.
Yeah.
God, we must have watched that movie 50 times.
I think I really latched onto this because, again, it has a great story of the betrayal to the coming back together and the heart, the sadness at the end. And so, and the weeny little funny parts. And
I mean, there was some one-liners that I thought were pretty good. I mean, they were, I guess it's one of those movies where you always think, okay, it's an animated movie. It's got to be for kids, which it was, but there was some adult humor sprinkled in.
Yeah, the middle parts have the comedic representation of it.
All right, so I'm not a big kid movie fan, but it was enjoyable.
This one got to you?
No, it didn't get to me.
Well, I mean, in likability.
I liked it. I probably wouldn't watch it again. But here's a funny story. So I couldn't find this anywhere. So I'm looking on all the apps I have on my TV, and the only thing I could find was there's two apps I could get it, but I had to pay for it.
Yeah.
Which I finally said, okay, it was like less than $4. So I went to the one, and I had to put in this code in order to buy it. And I'm like, I have no idea what this code is. So I said, well, let me go to the next one. So then I go to that, and I'm thinking, okay, so I'm going to, you know, the typical thing you do when you do stuff online, you do your credit card shit. So anyway, it was... Is it Vudu or?
Yeah, Vudu.
So it said, okay, you want to buy it? Okay, click here. And I clicked it and it said, there's been an error. I mean, it didn't ask me for any information. So since I have a Roku TV, I've never set up any payment thing on that. And apparently what it said was, nobody even cares about this. But anyway, I couldn't buy it. So I go out. I finally found it online. It's a site called Internet Archive. And it's, I don't think it's illegal, but there's a lot of shit on there that probably should be on there. But the version I finally found, which is funny, it had subtitles in Arabic. And it was like, okay. I mean, it was an English movie with Arabic subtitles. And I'm thinking, I'd love to know what that says, but I can't read Arabic. But so yeah, I jumped a lot of hoops to get to this movie.
I'm proud.
But, yeah. So, on a scale of 1 to 5.
Or whatever you want.
I'd give it a 3.5.
Okay.
So
why not a 4?
For me, it kind of, until they got into the woods and started interacting with all the other animals, it just kind of...
It was dislikable?
It wasn't dislikable.
It was just a fill-in for you?
It was just, it just seemed like it just drug along.
Yeah.
You know? But after that, I mean, it got good because there was some action and, you know, the story, I thought, unfolded pretty well at that point. So, but yeah, I mean, it was enjoyable. Like I said, I probably wouldn't watch it again. So, since I probably won't watch the second one, tell me what happened to Mr. Weenie.
I can't remember.
So does it explain what he meant when he said, because he's like, he stands up on his hind legs and he goes, I've been living a lie. And he rips off his vest. It's like, what the hell?
So it's either in the second or third one, but he becomes basically a main character.
He's in the third one too?
Yeah.
Damn.
But he comes to be like a leader of the wild animals, and he puts the wild animals... So basically, the owners of the Mr. Weenie are like blind, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, wow, it's Mr. Weenie.
The one guy never talks, right?
Yeah, he dislikes him. I'm pretty sure he dislikes Mr. Weenie.
No, the guy that owned him.
Yeah.
I don't remember him ever even saying a word.
The female talks.
Right, right.
But Mr. Weenie, he basically becomes the leader of the wildlife, and he basically smuggles all these animals. And there's a conflict or whatever, but he's the leader.
He's the gangster.
Yeah. and the parents have no clue. So
he's doing all this while he's still a pet?
Yeah.
Oh God.
So.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's basically like a action movie, and yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So I mean, if you have kids or little kids in your life, not necessarily your kids, but nieces, nephews, whatever, they'd probably love this movie. But be careful; it's addictive. They'll want to watch it every night before they go to bed. All right. Okay. So we are at 1 hour exactly right now. So I think we're going to try to wrap this one up here, our Easter recording on Easter Sunday. We're going to wrap this one up for now. We want to, before we go, though, we do want to acknowledge our sponsor, C&J Superior Tools. They are a Snap-on Tool franchisee. They have every tool under the sun. And if they don't have it, they can get it. No matter if you're a do-it-yourself or a professional mechanic or anybody that deals with tools or diagnostic equipment. So contact them on their Facebook page. They have a Facebook group, C&J Superior Tools. And let them know you got this information from the podcast, and they'll probably knock off, I don't know, 100%.
Give you a shirt, you know?
They're not going to give you 100%.
They're going to give you...
They'll give you something.
Yeah.
So, and once again, our contact info, email, timeonthemic@gmail.com, social media.
Time on the Mic on everything besides Facebook.
And that's Time on the Mic, space Daniel.
Yep.
All right, so we're going to let you go, and we're going to wrap this one up. So any final comments from Daniel?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Happy Easter. This Time on the Mic is over.